hell?
Everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Okay. I'm excited for the interview.
Dave Keffer.
Sibilance.
I hope I pronounced his name right.
Yeah, probably.
Just fix it in post.
Just me like saying his name right over your voice.
Dave Keefer.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry Rice with the shoes on.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bounty cast?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast and member of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. This is episode 224, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about Pacer injuries, Monte Ellis, the Blazers update coming from guest Nico, of course, another undergoogleable, and our game of the week. Today's podcast brought to you by Steiner Sports. It's the best place to get your authentic sports memorabilia. Joining me are four of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? I want to give a shout-out to Mike Anarino for exposing me to some new culture. So shout-out to culture as well. We went to a bluegrass show at the 9:30 Club on Friday. But I would describe this bluegrass band as the fish of bluegrass. Green sky bluegrass. Lots of mandolin solos. A little too much for my liking. But check them out if you get a chance.
Lots of psychedelic drugs as well.
Was there cowbell?
No cowbell. No cowbell, no percussion. They're rocking a banjo, mandolin, standing bass, acoustic guitar, and steel guitar.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was good, though.
I assume these were white guys.
The whitest.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It is Thirsty Thursday. I'd like to, I've alluded this earlier, but I want to officially announce the newest member of the Undebeatables, Dame Delta Sparkle Donkey Colson Wayman. She's Dame because she's been officially knighted by the Queen. I have a giant Flemish rabbit who is amazing and just loves parsley. That's what I got so far.
Mm. You seem so unsure.
And knighthoods. Yeah.
We're still learning each other, but she's glad she's part of the family. So,
Nico was hoping that she was named after Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Dame Lillard also knighted by the Queen, I believe.
But not at the All-Star game. Dallas, Texas, this week. It's our enforcer, John Harper.
What is going on, fellas? Once again, podcasting from Dallas, Texas, drinking some delicious Texan beer, and staying away from actual Texans because they're a little scary.
Yep. And next to Harper, it's Blazers superfan, longtime friend of the show, it's Nico Branderhorst. And apologize for your shots against Lillard. I think he was wronged.
Yeah.
I hate all of you. I hate the nation. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
And go Blazers.
And also be careful, because when Nico's on the pod, he becomes the enforcer and I don't do anything.
It's transitive property.
No.
No.
It's the enforcer property.
Yes, exactly.
The first thing we want to get into this show, Pacers have had some injuries this season recently, and I want to talk about their impact they've had on the team. Jason, you know, Thad Young's at least one of these guys who's had some issues. What kind of difference has this made?
Well, I don't know. I think it remains to be seen. You know, I wanted to talk about this because the Pacers are entering a particularly tough stretch of basketball over the next 2 or 3 weeks, sort of bridging the All-Star break here. Thad goes down with a sprained wrist in the Nets game. Luckily, no fractures. He didn't break any bones. But it was to his shooting hand. So that is always a concern for basketball players. So even if he's, you know, cleared to come back, it might take him an extra bit of time to get his shot back. And Thad's actually been shooting pretty well from 3-point range. So
that's pretty well.
Yeah. So that's
a
loss.
Like career best. And I mean, he said too that there's a lot of swelling, I think was the quote. So that's, you know, no structural damage, great, but I mean, a sprain, depending on its severity, can be pretty serious. But
yeah,
I think it is heartening that he's listed as day to day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he's going to be out multiple games, is what I read.
It seems like, right?
Yeah.
He's been so integral to what we've been doing. You know, I mean, he's just an unselfish guy. He hustles on both ends, shares the basketball. You know, I mean, he's the kind of player you want on your team, and he fits really well in that starting lineup because he doesn't demand the ball. You don't have to draw up plays for him. He's just been a great addition. So it's sorry. Yeah, I'm just sad that he's not going to be a part of this these next few games. So hopefully he comes back quick.
Yeah, but you got to be elated because it opens up the door for the chef of them all. What is your joke?
I don't have a joke. I don't know. There's Chef Boyardee. It's next man up, right? And LaVoy Allen came out and played really well against Detroit. Had a near career high on his birthday at 18 points. And, he has a 20-footer. You know, they actually said during the game that
he's...
Yeah, I watched him hit it a couple times. listen, during the broadcast, they were talking about his benching really spurred him on. He was doing a lot of work in the weight room, trying to slim down, working on his shot. The benching really pushed him to be a better basketball player, and everybody's rooting for him and really excited that he's playing well. So it's a situation where a good guy and a well-liked player on the team can see more minutes, and that's a good thing.
So I want to get an outsider's perspective. Nico, clearly LaVoy Allen's first ballot Hall of Famer for Colson. For you, is he first or second ballot Hall of Fame?
First or second? Is that my only option?
Those are the only options. I mean, let's be real. He's going to get in.
He'll definitely be John Colson's first ballot Hall of Fame, but I think that's the only Hall of Fame you might see.
Sure.
Okay.
No, I think he's a, you know, one of these important cogs, and I don't think he probably should be a starter for the whole season. We need to have Thad Young come back soon, but you know, he's another guy you can fit in that's going to hustle and rebound and hit some shots. So
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, too. Like, we've talked about, especially under Vogel, what a good job, you know, he did sort of creating competition, you know, in practice. And that's one of those things that drives development, right? Long-term, you need guys who are hungry, right? And Lavoy is one of these guys who just works his ass off. Even if he's not starting, he's going to show young kids what it's like to work hard. And he's also, on top of that, a great locker room guy, as near as anyone can tell. So there's a lot of upside here. And he rebounds. And I just, you know, I love rebounding. I forgot how much I loved rebounding.
That's right. I think the issue that is created here is, you know, Jason, you talked about it, injuries. Kevin Serafin's still out. And Stuckey's still out. This thins our bench out by having Lavoy, who was playing spot minutes in that second unit. What we did in the Detroit game is extended C.J. Miles' minutes and put him at the four. That makes us pretty small and also can, you know, wear some guys out, particularly C.J. Miles, who's also dealt with injuries in the past. So, I mean, that's a concern going forward.
Especially when we play him at four.
Exactly. That's a concern going forward.
Well, I think the other thing that's going to happen is that you're going to have to lean on Miles Turner, right? Miles Turner's 20 years old, so he's a guy that can play 40 minutes a night for a month-long stretch and still be okay. The thing you worry with him, though, is that he has a tendency to get in foul trouble. So if you're in a situation where you're already thin up front and Miles Turner is getting in foul trouble, it can lead to bad things. They got away with it, I think, against the Pistons. It could have gotten bad, but especially, you know, with Drummond up front and the way that they control the glass. But I thought the other guy, you know, gang rebounding, which his team has had to embrace as a philosophy, helped get over that.
Yeah, I think it was the Knicks game where he got into foul trouble in the second quarter, and it changed the tide of the game for us.
Yeah.
It's definitely an issue. The upside is having him out there for extended minutes, it forces him to learn quick, right?
Sure.
And, you know, young guys, they do get into foul trouble, right? It takes a little while to adjust to the way that the NBA is being called as the season goes on, like you were talking about last show, Jason. And also him understanding how important he is, right? He's going very quickly from a young kid with an important role to be played on our team to you are part of what we center our offense around. So he needs to understand how important his minutes and fouls are, and he's getting there, right? And he's while he's doing that, he's also got to fold in, I got to quarterback this defense. And, you know, now I'm not talking to Thaddeus, now I'm talking to Lavoy. He's got a lot of stuff on his plate. So I think his growth has been great. And as I suggested last show, I really do think there's something to be said for some actual adversity, losing a starter.
Makes you lock in a little bit more, yeah.
Makes you lock in a little bit, and it's an opportunity, right? And as long as the leaders on our team and our coaching staff is preaching that this is an opportunity, not a pitfall, then I think everybody walks away from this a little bit stronger.
Sure. Well, let's transition and let's talk about the, you know, you mentioned earlier, Colson, that Stuckey also is injured again. This time he's down with a sprained ankle and that allergy to being healthy also flared up again. So I have no idea how long he's out. The thing that concerns me about this injury is Monte Ellis's play of late. So, you know, we have talked all year about how Stuckey and Ellis are a bit redundant at some level, and so far we haven't had to sort of deal with that because of Stuckey's injuries. But it's especially glaring now because Ellis has been playing not great until the second half of that Detroit game. Basically, after he threw the mask off, then he looked like Monte Ellis again. And Monte, for us to get through this next stretch of tough basketball, is going to have to score the basketball, I think. Have you guys noticed anything with Ellis, or have any explanation as to why he's struggling, or is it just the mask?
Is Monte Ellis just old? Like, mm-hmm. Is this the Monte that we have?
It could be. I don't know. Is this a psychological thing? He's pissed that he has been demoted to the bench?
I'm not willing to accept that, for better or worse. I'm not making any judgment about the accuracy of that. I'm just not willing to accept it at this point.
Sure.
I just, you know, until something else happens, this is a slump, right? If it continues this way and I start hearing griping, then yes, I'll deal with that. But I think we've all said about Monte since we first acquired him, you know, this is a team player. He's a guy who's going to do it. You know, he's going to, you know, subsume his own goals to team needs. And until I see otherwise, you know, he's just in a slump. But I do think, you know, as a whole, we've struggled a little bit with coaching this season. I don't know that we've helped him define roles very well. Rodney Stuckey's in and out. There's a lot of flux at that position for us. And so it makes sense that he's struggling a little bit with his identity on the team right now. And sometimes that affects your shot, right?
Yeah. I just worry. I feel like our first unit, even with Thad out and you replace him with LaVoy Allen, is functioning at a very high level. And can win a lot of basketball games. I just fear that over this next stretch of games that it will be our bench that is going to lose games that we shouldn't lose over the next couple weeks.
I mean, we've seen it. We're right. Yeah. As Pacer fans, we're always wary of that. And we have enough talent on that bench unit to where we should figure out a rotation that works.
Well, you know, Glenn Robinson III's been playing with confidence off the bench.
We got Al Jefferson.
And Al Jefferson's just amazing. I love that guy. He's just so fun to watch. He can pretty much score on anybody at will. He may defensively have some liabilities, but
maybe.
But he's maybe. You know, he's nearly a guaranteed 2 points. You know, we're probably going to have to rely on him harder as this second unit has struggles to score. Aaron Brooks has been good. I mean, you know, I mean, I think probably the idea is that Stuckey is supposed to be that backup point guard, but Brooks has played well. He had a big three in the Detroit game.
I mean, he has been one of the smarter signings, I think, that Bird did in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
The number of minutes that he's played and the effectiveness with which he's played and his professionalism. Just being ready whenever he's called on. I mean, that goes a long way in a locker room.
And also, too, I really think that there's something important about his aggressiveness. Like, he's kind of our confidence guy, right? Like,
yep.
I just, you know, we don't have enough overconfident guys on this team, right? Guys who know that they can score from apparently 35 feet out, which that's where the overconfidence comes in. But you love the idea that there's at least somebody out there who believes that they can score no matter what. And we need that mentality,
right?
Especially in our bench unit.
Right.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple weeks. Thad Young, you know, to let listeners peek behind the curtain, for the past month we've been throwing out talking about Thad Young and his importance to this team, but he keeps getting pushed to the non-discussed pile. But that's not, and that's sort of a nice microcosm of, I think, how Thad Young's role is on this team.
How he plays basketball, right? Like,
exactly. Yeah. So I hope that he comes back sooner than later. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Roger that.
We'll take a moment here, get a word in from our sponsor. This week, we want to talk about Steiner Sports. If you haven't heard of them, they're the leading producer, authentic sports memorabilia, like hand-signed collectibles. SteinerSports.com is the website. You should check out like a lot of very cool stuff on there. The promotion they got right now is if you enter the promo code Almighty, you get 20% off your purchase at checkout, which is a great deal. Just checking out some stuff around the site. The Pacers-specific things, they got a couple things going on. Right now, there's a man cave Pacers sign, you know, put up on the wall. Very nice one there. And there's two different style basketball cases. If you got some nice basketball you wanted to get displayed, if you got a signed one, those going on there too. And Colson, you were telling me about something else the fans might like as well.
Yeah, your president of basketball operations, Hall of Famer Larry Bird, has an 8x10 signed photo. And it's a layup over the Pacers. Vern Fleming there in the background getting burnt by Bird. So it's only $200, so you know, with your discount, you get like $40 off, something like that. It's not bad. Signed by Larry Bird. Hey. Yeah.
But nice Larry Bird autographed picture would be look great on the wall. And again, steinersports.com, checkout code, promo code Almighty. Get you 20% off. That's steinersports.com, promo code Almighty. Gentlemen, I think it's right about time for a break. This week, we got another musical guest that I've been listening to today. Another Indianapolis artist, Young Love. The track is called Terrified, featuring Scotty Apex. You can listen to it, of course, for free on SoundCloud. Just check out the show notes. You've got a link in there. Give him a listen. There's lots of other stuff on his SoundCloud page, so check it out. Shout out, Young Love.
Shout out. I wish that you would call me, but every single time you say you're way too busy. It would just take a minute if you let it. Wanna say goodnight, but you wanna text it. I'm sorry if I'm cold, but you're being colder. I know we ain't together, but this isn't getting better when you give me the cold shoulder. I know you're working hard and you care about my heart, but it's broken in the shards. Yeah, this left a nasty scar. I ain't scared of being lonely. I get lonely all the time. I'm scared of losing my one and only. For that I am terrified.
Yeah. And I was just wondering if you could like probably come through or something. Maybe you watch a movie.
Hey, she said, why you gotta call my phone? Girl, you know what's up. Tryna get you in that real love. Tryna ride the door like a realtor. You gonna give me that chance, babe? Knew I wanted you in one glance, babe. Never really cared about them, babe. All these other dudes are so lame, babe. Roll with the homies, I'll pick you a lane. And love has an option, this choice I would take. I'm probably not stopping till you is with me. So pick out a movie, let's go to the low. Tryna put it down, it's so serious. She's so serious. I'm feeling she the one I might marry, so don't tear me up.
I ain't scared of being lonely. I get lonely all the time. I'm scared of losing my one and only.
We're back for the break. Thanks again to Young Love. Check him out on SoundCloud. Check out our show notes and get links right to it. Listen to it for free. Next up, we got my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week.
This week, it's not about the Pacers, but it's product of Indiana, IU basketball, Yogi Ferrell. Signed a 10-day contract with the Dallas Mavericks, undrafted in the league. But he turned that 10-day contract into a 2-year contract because he'd been playing so well. Scored 32 points to beat the Trailblazers, actually. And just playing great, really impressing the... you know, the team and his teammates. They've been super happy with him. And looks like he may carve out a place in this league. Harper, did you see the story?
Did I see the story?
Yeah.
I heard a lot of crying and complaining from Nico. personally, here's my thing. So, one, this is proof that the Nets just have no chance to be a successful franchise. Because they waived my boy Yogi. IU, baby. Two, I was seriously disappointed that I know we don't need this guy, right? I mean, we've got Rodney Stuckey, Aaron Brooks, Monte Ellis. We don't need Yogi, but I really wanted Yogi. And I'm disappointed that somebody other than the Pacers got him. All that being said, I'm very happy that he found a home in this league. He found himself a great coach, and I really do. I think he will be successful. He's got some growth. He's got a lot of room for growth in his game. But what he can do is shoot. And in the NBA, if you can do that, you can have a successful career, period.
Yep. And I want to shout out to his coach, Rick Carlisle, former Pacers coach, who had just a gem of a quote that super fan. Easy Money shared with us. Carlisle said, "We're a poop team, but we're an underrated poop team." Although he didn't say poop, but whatever.
Yeah, no. Rick Carlisle, not known for pulling punches.
Right,
it's not his thing. That's an amazing quote.
They're creeping up on the eighth spot, right?
Yeah,
we'd all written them off earlier in the season, and now they're
well. I mean, Nowitzki was out, and you know,
they were terrible. So
they were
to our credit. Yeah. I think I predicted them to win 50 games because I always give Carlisle and Nowitzki that credit, but.
I did not.
50 was a little high, but I think I had him around 500. But
yeah, I think I was right there.
So good on Yogi. Get some playing time.
Congratulations, Yogi. Kid's a hard worker.
If he's not going to be here, I'm glad to have him in the league somewhere. Get to see him a couple times a year if he sticks around. So as we were talking about, the Blazers were beat single-handedly by Yogi. we got Nico in the house, and. We want to get a Blazers update from the Blazers expert himself.
Or Nico.
Yep. I'm your in-house Blazer expert. So the Blazers are struggling, but still better than the Pacers by everybody else's metrics in the league.
Except, you know, win-loss. Hey, which does matter.
We don't care about those real facts.
Oh, we're going alternative facts. Roger.
We have the best backcourt duo in the league, for one. Better than those sorry-ass guys in the
facts.
Golden State Warriors.
Well, our starting,
our McCollum and Lillard have a better scoring total than Klay Thompson and Steph Curry.
That's an actual fact.
That is an actual fact, see? And Lillard also, against the Warriors... became the 10th player in NBA history to have 8,000 points and 2,000 assists within his first five seasons. Yeah. The only active player to do that is LeBron James. That's another actual fact.
Wow.
Not alternative facts.
These are good facts.
Yeah, Blazers are awesome. We're better than you guys, even though you are in the watered down Eastern Conference, so that does help your
record.
Watered
down Western Conference. I don't even want to hear it this year.
Are they going to make the playoffs, Nico?
Are they going to make the playoffs? Of course they're going
to
make
the
playoffs.
Do you want them to make the playoffs?
Because they're going to end with a better record than the Pacers. Right, Joey?
We time shall tell.
Because I can't afford to lose that bet again.
Yeah, right.
But so, Nico, I guess my question is, what happened? Because last year the Blazers were similarly constructed and won 45, almost 50 games, right?
Yeah.
Challenged the Warriors in the playoffs. Same coach. Re-sign all your guys. Why no growth? I don't understand.
So I blame the Pacers for this long con of us getting Evan Turner.
Oh, okay.
I know how much you guys like Evan Turner.
Oh, come on, man. Why you got to come down?
$70 million on this guy who can't dribble, shoot.
Oh, no. He can dribble.
He can't, but not well.
Not well. But he can do it a lot.
I think I've seen him dribble off his own foot more times than.
Hey, look. What he lacks in quality, he makes up for in quantity.
No.
Yeah, that was definitely a signing that didn't make any sense to me in the offseason. But I didn't think that it would be this catastrophic.
It doesn't seem like it should have a cascading effect like it has, right? The West has not gotten better. You can't say that the West is better this year than it was last year.
The Warriors signed Durant. And JaVale McGee.
He was already in the West.
They were already a 73-win team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they took out a team in the Thunder that...
Yeah, but now you have Russell Westbrook with like 28 triple doubles so far.
It doesn't matter. The Thunder's not as good as they were last year.
That team is worse.
Yeah. Right?
They're still winning games.
Not as many.
My only point is that the West is not better, right? The West is worse.
Actually, it did get better because we sent Dwight Howard to the East.
that was a marginal uptick.
Okay.
Houston's winning games too.
Okay, fair enough. But the fact remains, the West is not generally better. Nothing dramatic changed. Terry Stotts is still a great coach. Dame plays great. CJ is the second most underrated player in the NBA this season.
Mm-hmm.
How do you account for the change other than, you know, they did sneak up on some teams last year. That's true. There's a little bit more film on them. But that does beg the question, have they hit a ceiling? I mean, unless they make some major changes, is this team?
I think there does need to have major changes. We need to dump some contracts. First off, with
some
Evan
brand
Turner.
New contracts.
Yeah. Alan Crabb, the Nets pulled a Portland on us by by having us sign Alan Crabb to a ridiculous contract as well. And also losing, I think, the veteran leadership of Gerald Henderson made a big effect on the team.
That's a really sad statement.
But
we'll take it.
But I mean, who's our veteran, though, on the team? What other veteran was there on the team?
I mean,
really,
Dame counts as a
veteran at this point.
Yeah,
he's only signed his, he just signed his extension. Really,
look, I get that, but right? The expectations.
There's no leadership outside of the young guys.
But I think he's a natural leader.
Yeah, he is. He is.
But we've spent an enormous amount of time on this pod talking about how leaders need lieutenants. You know, you got to have other guys.
CJ McCollum. And he's coming along.
All right. But he's not there yet, so that's an issue.
The oldest guy on their team is Evan Turner at 28 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Second oldest is Festus.
You don't think that's
the
problem?
I feel like for how young they are, there's not a lot of projects that I'm really excited about. Yes, they have this electric backcourt, but, I mean, how do they get better? I mean, what's the next step?
Shutting the contracts and actually signing quality players for the money. That's the big thing, right? Like signing Evan Turner for $70 million.
So you
signing Myers Leonard for $60 million.
You just want to. We need to dump the GM.
No, we don't need to dump the GM. I mean,
are you sure? The GM has not done a good job with the team in the last 2 years. That's just a fact.
You could use an anchor big man.
Last year was supposed,
that is your roster.
Last year was supposed to be a rebuilding year. We still made it to the playoffs, right?
But you didn't get anybody.
Well, that wasn't the point. That was supposed to be.
What's the point of rebuilding if not to get people?
Because we're supposed to be terrible so we can build
develop
the draft.
Talent. I mean, I think that at some level it was fool's gold last year.
It was. We overachieved a lot last year.
Yeah,
was,
and I think that it...
That was the biggest problem.
When you succeed and win almost 50 games, then you think you're almost there, right? Whereas you're right, Nico, I think it was a rebuilding year. They would have been better off if they would have won 30 games and had a high draft pick and been in a just... All right, our plan is to get everybody better as opposed to, you know, we can challenge the Warriors. So
let's add a
piece in Evan Turner to try to make that move or whatever, which is a misguided, you know, thinking no matter what you want to say about it. But I think if they would have instead failed and then built around development of young talent, then that's... You know, they could be a good version of the Sixers, right? You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like,
so has Evan Turner now fooled three teams into making them believe that he's the missing piece to a championship team?
Oh, come on, you guys, I haven't fooled anybody.
That's true.
And really, at the end of the day, Nico, I want to apologize because it's probably my fault. I am notoriously bad at predicting how good the Blazers are, and I picked them to win 50 games this year.
I specifically asked you not to do that, didn't I?
I know you did.
Yeah, I need you guys to go again with like your 18 and
I know.
Yep.
Whatever.
I was going to go under because I was afraid this would happen because you jinxed the hell out of my second team.
Lesson learned.
Thanks a lot, JT.
I'm always trying to learn stuff.
Thanks, Jason.
Sorry.
But I still think we're going to sneak into the 8th spot.
Whatever. I blame Obama.
8th spot. We're sitting in number 9.
Yeah, as poorly as they played, there's still upside for the Blazers this season. All they need to do is essentially play 55% ball the rest of the way, and they may well be in the playoffs. So.
They could be
and
lambs to the
like
Golden State 48 slaughter.
48 minutes of basketball versus 30.
Or the Spurs slaughter, you know, wherever they slot in. But
right.
Gentlemen, I think it's time to move to
a different
test of skill.
Country?
No. We're moving on to the next segment, the Undergoogleables, where we try to answer questions that may or may not have answers.
Can we do an under Googleables?
That was the plan.
Super excited.
You told us we had to, sir.
You said we signed up for it.
In the end, it's going to be better and more true than Google can give you.
I want to shout out Doris Young and Western Civ for this question. I feel like we had to know this back then, and I don't know the answer anymore. The seven wonders of the world. What are they?
Oh, crap.
Does anybody
know? Because they changed.
Are we talking ancient, or are we talking modern?
Oh, well, let's do both. Why not? I don't know. Let's do ancient first.
I don't have that much time.
We got all the time in the world.
All right, ancient.
The Hanging Gardens.
Okay.
Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Check.
Right. The pyramids.
Pyramids of Giza.
It's two.
Isn't the...
Some Mayan temple or something, right?
No.
Isn't the Athenian Wall or the Greek Wall one of them? The sea wall?
The Great Mexican Wall? No.
No.
That's the modern one.
Okay. I know one of them.
Definitely the lighthouse.
Ooh.
Definitely the lighthouse.
Well, yeah.
The lighthouse of Alexandria, is that where it is?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Something like that, yeah.
Wasn't there like
the Hanging Gardens where they had like a reverse screw that would like
move
the water?
That was an artesian well. That's an artesian well. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was at the gardens, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
So we got three.
Who's the big guy that stood? Like, right? The big guy.
Ah. What's that guy?
That crumbled.
Colossus.
The Colossus at Rhodes. Sure.
Okay.
Is that four or five?
Joey?
So you've definitely got... There's some Roman things in there.
Is the Great Wall of China one? Or no?
No, that's modern.
It seems like it should be.
That's part of the modern.
The pyramids of Giza are the only ones that are currently still standing.
Right. That's helpful.
Yes, that is.
That's super helpful.
There's a couple of Roman colosseums, right, or temples.
I think there's just one colosseum.
Okay.
What about the Tower of Babel?
Well, I mean,
that's from the Bible.
Wasn't there a tower, though? No?
The Tower of Babylon? Tower of Babel?
Can we do better with the seven wonders of the modern world?
So we got four. Let's just stick there. There's definitely a temple of something and a colosseum of something.
Oh, it's the Temple of Doom.
So let's say. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we got four for sure.
And the Oakland Coliseum, I think.
And the Tower of Sears.
Okay, so what about the modern, the seven
the Eye
modern
of Sauron.
Wonders of the world? So it's the Great Wall.
Great Wall. We got the Great Wall.
There's definitely like an Aztec or Mayan temple is one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of it is.
Is that like a ziggurat?
Yeah, it's a very large ziggurat. Yeah.
Okay.
I could use a ziggurat about now. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you quit.
Yeah, so, you know, but it would be really nice.
He quit sacrificing humans in this moment.
So we got the Great Wall and some sort of Mayan temple.
This is the Cristo del Rio in Brazil.
Yes, that is definitely one.
Sure.
For sure. So that's three.
The Grand Canyon?
No.
Wait, what? How is that
it's got to be a man-made thing.
Yeah.
That's a modern. Natural. That can't be modern. That's older than anything.
It was on the list.
What about
I don't know if it made it.
Eiffel Tower. Did that make it?
Nah.
Maybe.
No.
Don't know.
We'll put that on our short.
That's list. A short list.
Okay.
That's,
I don't have anything better.
Oh man, there's got to be. We know more modern amazing things than this. Big Ben.
I mean,
is that a wonder of the world?
ISS. I'm pretty sure ISS is not on the list, but it should be.
Yeah, the Hubble.
Think anniversary gifts. In India.
Wait, are you just cheating right now? Is that what's going on?
What?
Oh, Taj Mahal. Taj Mahal is definitely
Taj
one.
Taj Mahal. Okay.
Yeah, he said India. I got that.
I got that one.
Four.
Yeah, that's wrong with four. Howard. I should make sure.
So we're so we Dude, can get the four whole point of is each.
Not to Google. We can get four of each. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody I think can we get do better than four of each?
Nope. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Ready.
Okay. Hold on, Wikipedia. Seven wonders Statue of the of ancient Zeus. World. Great Pyramid of Giza.
Yes.
Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Okay.
Colossus of Rhodes.
Yep.
Lighthouse of Alexandria.
Well done, team.
Temple of Artemis.
See, at we said Ephesus. Temple of something.
That is a temple of something. It's sure. true. Can you tell me who Artemis is, John?
I think he's the god of love.
How about the goddess of the hunt?
Okay. There you go.
Is that what Ares that? Who's the god of love?
That's war, bro, but kind of the same thing.
Aphrodite?
The way that I do it.
Okay, so you have the Temple of Artemis, and then there's the Statue of Zeus at Olympia.
Never heard of that.
Which was destroyed by Constantinople.
Hmm.
And then the mausoleum at Halicarnassus.
Halicarnassus, yeah. That actually... I would have never come up with that, but...
Who would make a mausoleum a seventh wonder?
Who makes this list? Who's in charge of the...
The peeps.
The peeps.
The peeps. Das peeps.
Okay. Are you ready for the modern world?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. The Great Pyramid of Giza gets honorary status.
No, that doesn't reason. Count. That's not one of the seven, is it?
Yes.
Honorary. No, it's not. No.
Okay, good.
It's not.
The Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Wall,
sure.
The Colosseum.
Did we mention that?
Taj Mahal.
Wait, hold on, though. The Colosseum? How is that a modern wonder if the Lighthouse at Alexandria and the Howling... Like, all these other Roman things are ancient?
Because it still exists.
Mm.
Well, yeah. But shouldn't it be by Maybe. When it's built?
No, it's based upon if it's still standing when they make the list.
But you just told me that the only that there was an ancient wonder that still exists.
Well, because the Colosseum wasn't part of the ancient seven wonders.
Right, it was the pyramids.
Yeah, that was the only one that still exists.
That's why it gets honorary status.
That's why it's honorary in the modern, because yes. it still exists.
Because it still exists.
And by the way, the Colosseum is still there, just for the record.
Well, that's why it's...
True.
That's why it's on the list.
That's why it's modern and not.
But they had to restore it to get it there because it was only half standing. So I'm just sure. saying I'm arguing with these rationale.
Okay. Simmer down. Okay. So we got Great Wall of China, Colosseum, Taj Mahal, Christ the Redeemer.
Yep.
Petra in
Don't
Jordan.
Don't even know what that is.
It's like a
oh,
temple.
I know.
Oh, those carved are those things on the cliffs.
Mountain, basically.
Those big carvings.
It's pretty,
right?
It's pretty cool.
Like in Transformers. Come on.
Chichen Itza. That was the ziggurat okay. I was thinking of.
Mm.
Which is in Yucatan, Mexico.
Okay.
And Machu Picchu.
Oh. We should have come up with Machu
so you
Picchu.
You have both of them. Inca and Aztec.
If Petra makes it, why not Mount Rushmore?
Because no one likes Americans.
Yeah, Eiffel Tower and Mount Rushmore.
Everybody loves Jordanians.
Because that's just old and it's still there.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Wow. So between the five of us, we could come up with eight of the possible 14 answers.
That's better than 50%.
There you go.
That's better shooting average than your boy LaVoy Allen.
Ooh. Ooh. Shots fired.
Cut to LaVoy.
But not accurately.
What did I do? Except have a birthday and score 18 points.
Last thing we need to talk about this show is our Game of the Week.
Game of the Week. Game of the Week. Game of the Week. Game of the Week. Game of the Week.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about our Game of the Week, which is going to be the Pacers traveling to Washington to take on the Wizards. This game is interesting because it's two of the hottest teams in the league right now, so it should be a good one. The Wizards have won 22 of their last 26, I think, including 17 straight at home, and the Pacers have won 13 of their last 17. So this should be a good game to put your eyeballs on the screen. Joining us to talk about this game is Dave Keffer from Zardcast, another member of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Dave, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
I did not realize
that the Pacers were as hot as they were. I was just looking over the schedule. I didn't realize you guys are – the East has been pretty weak the last few weeks, but you guys have been coming on really strong.
And we're just trying to stay under the radar as long as possible.
Yeah, so I wanted to start it off, Dave, and ask, you know, we watch the Wizards play, and I actually live in the district, so I see the Wizards play every now and then. And they were a pretty inconsistent team for the first month, 2 months of the season. But now they're on fire. What has changed? Why are these guys winning basketball games at this ridiculous clip right now?
I think really that's something that everybody in Wizards land has been trying to figure out, too. I mean, they started off 2-8 at the beginning of this year. And this group has always been a pretty up-and-down team. Obviously, they have a lot of talent at the top. That's why they were able to win a couple playoff series, even when their regular season record hasn't been great the last few years. I think, honestly, it's mostly just coaching. Getting rid of Randy Whitman.
Are you telling me Randy Whitman was not the answer?
He was not. He could coach a little bit in the playoffs, but the regular season was not his his strength, I don't think. So I would say, you know, everybody on the team has gotten better than last year, which isn't something you could ever say under Whitman. And I think Brooks just figured out the bench was really drowning at the beginning of the year, and he figured out the rotation, tweaked it a little bit so that they're not killing us anymore. And the starting five is one of the best crews in the league. And so if we can just not hemorrhage points when they're on the bench, then they're just a good team.
So is Brooks like staggering the bench then? Are you always keeping in some starters? Is that how he's doing that? Are they logging long minutes?
Yeah, so at the start of the year, we were going A team, B team. So he would roll out Trey Burke, Marcus Thornton, Kelly Oubre, Jason Smith, and Andrew Nicholson. And that was like one of the worst benches in the history of the league.
Yeah, it sounds like a murderer's row.
Yeah, it was gruesome. But then over the last, you know, couple months, he shortened up that rotation. So Marcus Thornton never plays anymore, which is great. Same with Andrew Nicholson. And Wall stays in through the whole first quarter, and that way you can take out Beal and Markieff Morris and then run them a little bit with that second unit so they're not getting killed.
And the other thing that's clear is that John Wall is playing at virtually an MVP level, right? Like if Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, and James Harden didn't exist, which would be a horrible world to live in, Wall would be getting serious MVP talk, right? Especially his play over the last month.
Yeah, I mean, I think outside of those guys you just mentioned and also Paul George, I don't think anybody does as much on both sides of the ball for their team as Wall does. But again, you know, going back to Whitman, I think he wasn't really putting Wall in the best places to succeed. He's been a lot more efficient scoring the ball. He's getting to the line more. And pretty much up and down the roster, that's the case. So Wall's been one of the main beneficiaries, but just everybody around him is playing well, which takes a lot of the pressure off him.
Sure. Yeah, no, one of the things that I always felt like when I was watching the Wizards game and reading local press about it, and to your point about Randy Whitman not putting him in a position to succeed, the guy, John Wall, could not win, right? He takes the game-winning shot, he did it wrong. He passes, he did it wrong. Is this team – has there been a quantum shift in this team's chemistry? I mean, they're all of a sudden three in the East. I mean, was there a team meeting? Was there something seismic that happened, or are they just coming along?
I mean, I think there was a players-only meeting. Like I said, they started off 2-8. That's definitely not where they wanted to be. But I think it's just a matter of that group. You know, Markieff Morris only came around after the All-Star break last year, and Beal and Otto Porter hadn't really been playing at this same level where we could depend on them. So I think it was just a matter of this starting five kind of gelling together, figuring out what everybody's supposed to do.
And Beal being healthy makes a big difference.
Yeah, because, you know, not just the missing games in itself, but he's a young guy trying to figure out what his game is. So when he's missing, you know, three or four games out of every 15, there's just no way for him to get in a rhythm and figure out what he's supposed to be doing every night.
Sure.
So, Dave, what are you doing superstitiously to keep Beal healthy? Like, are you, you
eat sacrificing a raw egg chickens every morning or something?
You know, I try not to be a superstitious guy, but I mean, it's tough to watch him because he just seems so fragile. I mean, he goes down probably every other game. He goes down, and you're like, oh, that's it. That's it for Brad. That's it for the season. But he pops back up. He's been pretty reliable this year, I think. And I don't know, whatever it is that I'm doing right, I just hope that I keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's clean living, I think.
Yeah, so don't change your socks.
I never do, so that's
fine. Otto Porter seems like a real revelation. You know, he's just really coming along for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I think, still leading the league in three-point percentage. He fell off, or he's had a couple rough games. I think he's kind of got a hip injury. But he just makes everything. It's, I think, a revelation, like you said, is the best way to describe it. I don't know, honestly, how much of that is just playing next to Wall, because Wall does that to pretty much whoever's playing on the wing with him.
Sure.
Martell Webster, Ariza, Jared Dudley, all those guys were shooting, you know, mid-40% when they were playing with Wall. But, I mean, yeah, I don't think anybody expected him to be to perform this well this far into the season.
So I'm going to ask an unfair question. Is this team peaking too early? They've got a ton of talent, and they are red, red hot. Where do you think they fall come game 82? Is this a top half of the bracket team?
I think they are, you know, peaking too early in the sense of, you know, if they were trying to compete, I think you don't want to peak this early. But yeah, I definitely think they're a top four team in the East, provided nobody goes down.
yeah,
in the East, provided nobody goes down with an injury. But yeah, I mean, I'm just happy to see them play at this level, for them to know that they can play at this level. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a concern that this is probably the best they're going to be all year.
But they're having fun playing basketball, and that goes a long way.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, they buried the Celtics in that funeral game the other night. we got Cleveland tomorrow, and John was talking a little trash about it, saying it's the biggest game of his biggest regular season game of his career. So they're
that.
Definitely hyped up, and it's
nice.
It's fun to watch.
Nice.
So let me ask you guys a question. What's the deal with Jan Mahinmi?
No take backs.
He's got a great clothing line. That's all you need to know.
He's a good locker room guy, and that's all you're getting from him right now.
Yeah, I would like a little bit more than that. I think he's played about 10 minutes this year.
Yeah. No, he is a soldier,
though. More than you needed him for.
Yeah, he's a solid rotation big in the NBA. I mean, he plays really good defense. He plays hard. He rebounds well for his position. And he defends the rim okay. You know, he's not going to be a knockdown shooter from 15 feet by any means. But, you know, he's the kind of guy, you don't have to call a play for him, and he's going to score 6 to 8 points and give you some good defense, some good fouls.
I don't know if this actually makes any sense, but I feel like Jan's one of those guys where his stats are always a little bit better than he is as a player.
Interesting.
He's averaging.
I could see that. Because, well, when you ask if the Wizards are peaking right now, the only chance that they're not is if he comes back and gives us, you know, a stronger defensive presence on the bench. A lot of Wizards fans want to trade for a bench scorer. But, you know, if neither of those things happen, then, yeah, this is probably as good as it gets for the Wizards this season. But
I think he's a, you know, he could be a member of a strong, you know, nine-man road. He can be your ninth guy and play some defense off the bench. I think if he comes back healthy for you, you could definitely see him in the rotation and he can help.
Well, our only backup big man right now that ever plays is Jason Smith. So,
yeah, he's a step up off that.
Yes, he is.
Hopefully.
If you're looking for ball movement and assists, you got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
His passing was
always got
much
Trey
improved.
Burke for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
His court vision is 20/80. It's not good.
How are you feeling about this matchup with the Pacers? Do you feel like you chalked this up as a win, or are there anything you're worried about playing us?
Oh, no, definitely not. I meant definitely not chalking it up as a win, not definitely.
Okay.
Not worried about anything. No, I mean, even going back to last year, Wizards-Pacers games are always pretty good battles. I think you guys basically ended our playoff hopes last year. Mm-hmm. Paul George got to the line with like 3 seconds left and won the game. And then who hit that shot against us earlier this year? Was it Thad Young?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
That,
yeah, the runner.
Ridiculous fall away, yeah.
So, no, I think it'll be a good game. Paul George always goes off against us. You guys tend to shoot really well against us. I think CJ Miles had like 9 threes against us last year. So it'll be good. Two hot teams. And
yeah. I always enjoy this matchup, too, because Jeff Teague's been playing great, but John Wall's defense is just shut down. I'm one of my favorite players in the league to watch, John Wall. Easily, for me, still the most underrated player in the NBA. The kid's just electric.
Yeah, his shot hasn't been falling the last few weeks, so he's just really turned it up defensively. I think he had 5 steals last night, really just blanketed Drew Holiday and pretty much won the game defensively last night against Pelicans.
Yeah, he's just got so many tools in the belt, man. He's a really well-rounded NBA player. You're right about the streaky shooting, but he's still got the ability to get into the paint, and we have trouble stopping that sometimes. So it should be a really exciting game. I'm looking forward to this one.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks for coming on and talking Wizards with us. Do you want to give a little plug to yourself and the podcast?
Yeah, Zardcast. We're on the network with you guys. I mean, just doing the same thing. We also we're really into, I don't know if you guys have seen The Young Pope, but we've gotten pretty deep into our coverage of that. We do almost as much of that as Wizards coverage lately.
Nice.
So awesome. If you're ever interested in hearing three idiots talk about The Young Pope, definitely check that out.
Nice.
Cool. That sounds awesome.
And yeah. You're Zardcast. At Zardcast, is that right?
Yes, at Zardcast.
Cool.
At Zardcast.com, as well as on the Almighty Baller Network.
Cool, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
You guys are better at plugging that than I am. I don't really know any of that stuff. So.
We're learning, so we're probably overdoing it. But but cool, man. Thanks so much. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Good luck in the game this week.
Sure. Worst of luck to you in the game this week. Thanks again, Dave.
All right, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah
no problem.
Yeah, enjoy the Super Bowl. Doing
it. You too.
There's nothing else this week, gentlemen. We will get out of here. Until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale.
For a once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Hey, that contact button doesn't work because I don't get any replies.
Did you get a contact high, though?
No.
No?
I don't get any responses.
We ignore you on purpose.
You just message nonsense about how the Blazers are amazing and...
That doesn't sound like nonsense to me.
At 22 and 29, it's not.
Usually, all we get is messages coming in 3, 4 in the morning, poorly spelled, and very angry, to be honest.
Very angry.
Yeah.
You should hear me with customer service departments.
And we do read all of them, though. But I can't read those to kids. That's the problem.
Yeah, our hands are tied, Nico. It's our advertisers that don't let us
have Audible read them to you next time.
Napa Know How.
Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how!
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.